Look, payday's awesome, but running payroll, calculating taxes and deductions, staying compliant, that's not easy. Unless, of course, you have Gusto. Gusto is a simple online payroll and benefits tool built for small businesses like yours. Gusto gets your team paid while automatically filing your payroll taxes. Plus, you can offer benefits like 401k, health insurance, and workers' comp, and it makes onboarding new employees a breeze. We love it so much, we really do use it ourselves, and we have 4 years, and I personally recommend you give it a try, no matter how small your business is. And to sweeten the deal, just for listening today, you also get 3 months free. Go to gusto.com/beingboss, that's gusto.com/beingboss. Welcome to Being Boss, a podcast for creatives, business owners, and entrepreneurs who want to take control of their work and live life on their own terms. I'm your host, Emily Thompson, and in this episode, I'm joined by author and tarot deck creator, Pamela Chin, to talk about stepping into the flow of creativity, changing your mindset about what's possible, and sharing a message from the owls. You can find all the tools, books, and links we reference on the show notes at www.beingboss.club. And if you like this episode, be sure to subscribe to this show and share us with a friend. Whether you're a full-time boss or dabbling in a side hustle, learning from those who have already been there, done that is a powerful way to give you a leg up on your own journey. To help you gather those lessons and inspiration, cue up an episode of the Side Hustle Pro podcast, hosted by Nikayla Matthews Okome, brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Join host Nikayla to learn actionable strategies to start small and get going wherever and whoever you are as she interviews inspiring Black women entrepreneurs like Ashley Reynolds in episode number 309 in a conversation about how Ashley launched and grew the popular stationery brand Cloth and Paper, a special one for all of you planner loving bosses out there. Listen to Side Hustle Pro wherever you get your podcasts. Pamela Chin is a psychic, business mentor, and money manifesting coach. She helps high-achieving, powerful creatives and visionaries access potentials and opportunities from the quantum field and Akashic records through expanding their energetic awareness to infinite possibilities and real magic. In doing so, her clients have manifested with ease, grace, and flow, feeling abundantly rich in all areas of their lives, not just their bank accounts. Pamela is also a published author and deck creator with Llewellyn Worldwide, having already published Witchling Academy Tarot, Enchanted Crystal Magic, and Tarot of the Owls. She is also an author with Hay House and US Games, with decks coming out after 2024. When she is not writing or coaching, she loves to cuddle with her chickens, watch Korean drama, and eat spicy Cheeto Puffs with avocado. Pamela has previously been on this show in episodes number 255 and 269. Hi, Pamela. Welcome back to Being Boss.
Hi, Emily. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be back.
I'm so excited to see your happy face.
This is really exciting.
It's been a minute since we've been able to chat, but we've been in touch a bit over email. I know that you've been doing so many things over the past forever. Like, you're just one of those really like prolific creators, which is always incredibly fascinating to me. But I think in order to get us started, I'd like to just hear what you've been up to. So the last time you were here for recording was October of 2021, which was almost a year and a half ago, which is crazy. Wow. Right? Yeah. That was over a year ago. Isn't that wild to think about?
Yes. Yeah.
So why don't you update us? What have you been up to in business or life, whatever you want to share since we last had you on the show?
Yeah. So I think the last time I came on the show, I just quit my job. And so that was like a big shift, and it's been great. It's been great ever since. I did ayahuasca.
Nice.
I actually separated from my business partner. So 2022 was a whole year about rebuilding and rebranding. And I tried a lot of things, which were great. And I think right now I'm in a really good place and building the foundation for what is to come. I am at 9 publishing contracts right now.
Oh my gosh.
Or 9 Amazing. Or 10. There's a lot. It's all coming out. And I won a Hay House contract with my co-writer, Alex, Galactic Star Tarot. So that has led me into working with a lot of extraterrestrial energy.
Yeah.
Cosmic magic. And it really expanded me even more into like the quantum field and where I was doing like the manifestations in. Like there's been crazy stuff happening in my life.
Nice. Amazing. I'm sorry to hear about your split from your business partner. That is a difficult thing. Even like if it's amicable, it's mm-hmm. hard. If it's not amicable, it's even harder. But there is some real magic that comes from you just like doing your mm-hmm. thing. And congrats on all of those contracts. That is incredibly impressive.
Thank you.
Are they all decks? Are you writing books? Like what are all these things?
So the Tarot of the Owls is actually coming out March 2023. Yay. So when we're doing this, the next deck that comes out with Llewellyn is Steampunk Fairy Tarot. So nice. That's going to be fun. The artist is amazing, Ashley Cassidy. We have Joy. Well, I don't really know the title yet. So it's like Asian magic book that's I'm co-writing with my friend Samantha, who's also Asian. I think that one's going to be really good. We had to rewrite almost the whole thing because we had to change the vision around how we were approaching the book because we
sure.
came with a different energy than what the publishers thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So that's always fun. Next is Catacorn, like a cat unicorn.
Oh my God. Yes.
Catacorn. So that's all done too. Just waiting for, this is with US Games. So they are going to just waiting for them to print, I guess. That's almost done. And after that, I have a magic manifestation spells book, I believe is coming out with Llewellyn. The last contract that we signed was Galactic Star Tarot. So Alex and I wanted to do a deck together. And I think we were going to do something else, which we might still do, but I wasn't really feeling it. And then I was like, because she's a galactic priestess. She studies all of that, Atlantis, Lemuria, everything. And I was like, no, we need to do this. And she's like, let's do it. So we pivoted. And I did pitch it to Llewellyn first because they're my main publisher. It's just their audience is more like earthbound magic, witch, you know, so more traditional. So they did not understand what anything was. She was like, what does this mean? So they turned it down, which is okay. It was like everything was in synchronicity. And Alex is like, why don't we pitch it to Hay House? And I'm like, well, you need an agent or you need to be in their writing program. And she's like, I'm in the writing program. I was like, let's do it. I know, because you paid to get in.
Yeah. Right?
And I was like, let's do it. And so I think it was within a month or two, we channeled it was like the best proposal I've ever written, I think. We submit it, and it was really fun process because you have to turn in like a video of you introducing yourself. So, you know, like on Vimeo, you can see when they look at it. So every time they looked at it, we're like, oh, and towards the announcement date, which is like August 2022, they looked at it like 7 times in 1 week or something. And we were like, we're definitely in the finals.
Y'all were on it.
You can feel that energy, right? And then Reed Tracy actually called her in person to like congratulate. And I just remember her calling me and we were just like screaming. And I think he said we were the only tarot that's ever won this contest.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that's big.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're doing so many things. Thank you. So many things. I love hearing about it. And I feel like I have so many questions for you today. Every other time we've ever had you on the show, we've talked about manifesting, which is, would you say that's like your jam?
Yes.
Yeah.
Manifestation.
Yeah, okay, love it. Mm-hmm. So like manifesting is your jam, but I would like to throw in there that I think you're an incredibly creative person as well.
Yeah. Yes. I got lots of ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of ideas. And you are actually actively creating. I mean, you are in the middle of a lot of projects and they're all at different, you know, points of the process and those sorts of things. But you are in an incredibly creative phase of your career, which I absolutely love seeing. And it's something that anytime I see someone in this sort of like high creativity phase, I want to dive in because you're in it. You're in it and you're experiencing it. I think you'll have a really great perspective on this time in your career in like 10 years, right? You're going to be able to look back and go like, I was doing so. What was I even thinking? Right? Or like, it felt so amazing. I was just like an open channel, whatever it may be. But while you're in it, I really want to dive into this experience of your creativity. I want to hear about your process, how it is that you're harnessing it, where the hell it's coming from, like all these things, because you are really just doing it. But I'll start easy. And that is, how are you cultivating it? How are you cultivating and like maintaining the stream of energy in your life and work right now?
So I do work on my energy. I have magical practices every single day, rituals that I do. So when you are in that space of intention, then you are an open channel, right? And so whatever it is that you desire, even if it's creative ideas, will flow in. And if you train yourself, and it's something that I've trained myself to be aware of these ideas coming in, then that's the first step, because you're always getting ideas. You just might, it's in your own voice, and you might just think, oh, no, that's just a random thought, but it really isn't. That's like your, that's your muse. That's your creativity. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. Or I don't need to agree with it, but that has been my experience with it as well, I would say. There is this like, some people would call her the muse, right? Or like this little inner voice that tells you what to do and when to do it. And if you're not either opening yourself up to it or otherwise listening, it's so easy to either miss or write off or, you know, make up excuses or whatever it may be. And so I love that you bring that up, because it's something that I experience often. I like, I try to walk every day for the, and like quiet, like I'm not listening to a podcast. I'm not listening to music. It is silence, because I need to like quiet my brain to listen to the voice, whatever it may be. And so I love that you say that you are doing that and that that's sort of the wellspring of this creativity.
Yeah. I, you know, one time, I don't know what project it was for, I forgot, but I did do, you know, I don't really work out, but I was trying to work out. And that's also the key. Try, you have to try stuff. Like you get this idea, you have to try. But I was trying to work out and I was like doing this 15-minute workout video on YouTube. And then I was like, oh, and I was just laying down and, you know, I was exhausted. And then like this idea downloaded and I was like, oh, let me go write that down and see what comes of it.
Yeah. Do you ever go through periods where you're not getting creative ideas, or have you just like figured it out?
I just kind of go, I know my flow, and I know sometimes it's time for me to create new things. I know sometimes it's for me to finish new things, and I try not to put pressure on myself to, I need an idea right now. And so that leaves it open to, it can come any single time, right? It could just come. Tarot of the Owls, I was actually working on another deck, and then it was like, you need to create an owl deck. There is none out there. And I was like, I do. And so I pivoted, and in 3 days, I wrote 78 card descriptions, the artwork, and I wrote the entire proposal. So Tarot of the Owls is like, it was just like, you're, this is it. And I was just like, this is it. Like now I know the feeling. And so you have to figure out what that feeling is for you. And some ideas won't work, and that's okay. Like the idea I was working on for months didn't work. You know, and it's okay. It was like the stepping stone to this one.
Sure. Okay. This is kind of a personal question. It's not a personal question for you. It's a personal question from me. But I'm wondering if you ever experienced this, because I am no stranger to big magic moments, for sure. I've definitely had my fair share. And I know more or less the situations I need to be in to open that up for myself. Sometimes it still doesn't come. Do you experience that? And if you do, what do you do about it?
I think so. So there's so much that goes into that, right? Yeah. There's so much pieces that can be put into place. So what I actually taught my clients the beginning of 2023 is to write down 111 wishes. So because your mind is the supercomputer, right? Your mind is a supercomputer. And so it's always busy. And if you don't give it something to do, it's going to find its own thing to do, which is probably your subconscious programming that we don't want manifested. So we give it something to do. And so the one, if we give it one big thing, then sometimes we get really focused on it. And we actually like kind of block ourselves in a way of receiving other things that leads us to the big thing. So I would say, desire a lot of things and let miracles happen. So miracles are when things come in as a surprise. Like it's just like, we didn't expect the Hay House thing. It wasn't something I focused on every single day, right? I didn't, but when it came, then I did the magic. You know, we met up, we went to the Akashic Records, we did the spell work, like we made it happen, right? So yeah. I think that's the thing, like seed it in, and then allow what the universe wants you to do to happen, because we're not in control of that. And then do the work, do the energetic, do the magic work to make it happen.
Lovely. Okay, there you go, everybody. 111 wishes. Mm-hmm. Give your brain something to do. Yes. And you know, it's funny you say that. One of the things that I also coach on a lot is creating a want list. I think it's so powerful. I think that does two things in my point of view. It does two things to sort of create a list like this, whatever it looks like for you. One, there's like a manifestation thing going on.
Yeah.
But two, it's a really important practice for both honing in on what it is that you want, which is not something mm-hmm. that a lot of us do. And it requires you to claim it in a way that not a lot of us do. And just the energetic level of that, like manifestation aside, we have all got to, there's some unlearning that we need to do, right? Around wanting things. Like you shouldn't want that, right? There's lots of shoulds, or like you should be happy with what you have. And yes, you should. And you can also want something. So I love that you bring that up. That's one of my favorite practices. For some even just entrepreneur mindset stuff, but 111 wishes for getting the gears rolling and opening you up to whatever fun surprises and or jokes the universe has in store for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love it. Okay. So you're doing a lot of creativity. You're keeping yourself incredibly open to it. You are following things when they come up. Okay. Another question just popped up for me. Do you know the difference between a good idea, like a muse idea, and like a half-baked, like my brain's just too busy idea?
So not really. Sometimes no. You just have to write the idea down. Like whenever you get an idea, I'll write it down. I'll see. So I'm in the moment. People think I work fast because I work in the energy of the idea. So if I have a task to do for my business, I like to finish it right away because I'll lose the energy in like a week and then I won't get it done. So I just like to focus on it and do it now. And that's what I do with my ideas. And if it comes to a point where it gets stuck, because, you know, sometimes you don't know what else to do with it, I'll let it sit for a while. I won't obsess over it. And then I'll come back to it and see if I can get unstuck. If I can't get unstuck, it's probably for later. But if it's in the flow, then that means it's supposed to be created right now. Now, I'm not saying that all my ideas get contracts. I've got rejections before, right? And I think back in 2010, I tried to create a tarot deck that was not a tarot deck. I don't know if it was some kind of deck, and it didn't work. So you just have to keep going and try.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. I appreciate that clarification. And really, it's that the ideas that are right for right now have the energy that allows for follow through.
Yes.
Is sort of what I'm hearing. Perfect. I also hear often, you know, bosses who are like, have a couple of ideas, they're trying to decide which to do. Maybe they all have energy. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. But one of the things that I always tell them is sometimes there's not a right or wrong path. Sometimes there is just the path you're going to choose and you make it right. So I'm wondering, when it comes to choosing which one, let's say a couple projects have energy, what does that look like for you?
Then I work on all of them because I know my energy. So I know that I'm able to make space and time and creativity for all of them. I do. And the publishers are really nice. They, you know, because since I signed a bunch of projects with Loella at the same time, they made sure that my deadlines weren't like back to back, you know, they didn't like rush me or anything. And they'll work with you. I think mostly it really does come down to your belief. So I believe that creativity, it always flows to me. I always have clarity. I believe that I always make the right decision and it's like really easy for me to create and write. So I like easy, flow, and fun. If it can be easy, flow, and fun, then I'm in. So I don't love editing, but I love editing. I love editing. Editing's the best. And so I literally have to do mindset work on myself when I get the edits back, especially when it's like 22 pages of edits. I'm like, sure. Ah.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Okay. I appreciate that clarification too. You have such a great energy around all of this. I hope everyone is just soaking this up because I feel like artists and creatives tend to think of sometimes either creativity and or the lack of creativity as a burden, right? Like there's this idea that I need to work on next, or, you know, I don't have any ideas, like something is wrong with me. But it sounds like you are so in the flow of just whatever needs attention when it needs it, that it's not a burden. It's a fun opportunity.
Yeah. You know, I always think, how am I going to think of another idea? But it comes. And I do try to reprogram myself all the time that I have so much amazing ideas that gets contracts from the publishers. You know, make it very detailed about your belief. And every time something happens, it'll fuel that belief and make it real.
Spreadsheets have their place, but sometimes there really is a better solution. With HubSpot CRM, get real-time data at your fingertips so your team stays in sync across the customer journey. Track your contacts and customers and personalize emails in bulk and get the context you need to create amazing experiences for you, your team, and your customers at scale, all from one powerful platform. It's why more than 150,000 companies already use HubSpot CRM to run their businesses better. Plus, HubSpot's user-friendly interface sets you up for success from day one, so you can spend less time managing software and more time on what matters, your customers. There's no better time to get organized. Learn how HubSpot can help your business grow better and get a special offer of 20% off on eligible plans at HubSpot.com/beingboss. Settling yourself into the flow of your business, from navigating a whole year of ebbs and flows to embracing the energy of each and every day, you're bound to have some ups and downs along the way. For me, this journey of entrepreneurship is made better when my space keeps me focused and inspired. As an example, my favorite way to mark the beginning and ending of the workday is to light a candle when I sit down at my desk and then blow it out when I'm done for the day. It's a little ritual that creates boundaries and a vibe that keeps me focused and feeling cozy. And the ritual candle that we make at Almanac Supply Co. is my favorite for this. In fact, my whole shop is filled with items that I've curated to create the vibe for feeling connected, in flow, and inspired. With candles, crystals, and other goodies to help you create a dreamy workspace, bedside table, or bookshelf. Come gather inspiration and check out my favorite in-stock items at almanacsupplyco.com/beingboss and get 15% off with code beingboss at checkout. That's almanacsupplyco.com/beingboss. Next questions are around collaborations, because you're doing a lot of collaborations. It sounds like with a lot of different people, you're working on several different kinds of products. You're both working with like very creative collaborators, but also publishing is a collaboration in itself, mm-hmm. working with publishers. How do you fit your creativity in with collaboration?
So it's always, it's not like a I'm looking for someone thing. It's more like, you know, randomly we're talking and then I'm just like, oh, or they were like, we should do this. And I'm like, let's do it. And I always find, so my I have my strength and they have their strength. So how can we put this together? And if it's not something that they can do themselves this at this time, then we can, and I know how to do it, then let's do it together. So for like Alex and mine's deck, the Galactic Star Society, I was only tapping in a little bit to star seeds and I was only a little bit curious. It's fun for me, but I didn't know anything about it. And obviously she's the expert. So I was a tarot expert. I knew how to create decks. I know how to put together the proposal. And so that was an amazing collaboration. And she actually used to be a client of mine. So I know that she works, right? I know she can type. I know that she works and she has integrity. And so we actually had our Vedic astrology read too. And so we knew that we would be a really good business partner. And we created actually a membership off of the deck that the guides were like, get it out now. Like it didn't want to wait for the deck to come out in 2025. It was like out now. And so it was like really cool to see how that collaboration just like blew up in 6 months. Yeah.
That's fascinating. Good. I also love the lightness with which you take your creativity into collaboration as well. Like, if for real, if I'm talking to most creators, like, yes, you know, we had to pull in another designer or like, you know, this writer sort of came and the publisher sent notes and they wanted to change the direction or whatever. But you have such a lightness even about this part of the process where you're not being super precious about your creativity shining on its own, but you're really understanding that the act of collaboration itself makes for a better finished product.
It does, because the publishers are experts in what they do. They publish amazing books. They know what needs to be changed. And if they usually if they tell, unless it's something that we're like, no, but usually if they tell me something, I'm like, okay, right? Like it's not. So I think in creating, especially a deck or writing a book, things are going to change. So if you hold on to the original idea, that's when you're going to get stuck. You have to allow, because we're co-creating this together, right? It is your book. It is your deck. It is your idea. But there's so many people that puts their magic into it. And it makes it really amazing if you allow everybody's skills and abilities to help you.
Yeah. Oof. This is such a fresh take. I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. I feel the air around me literally lightening as you're talking about all of these things. It's really beautiful. It's really beautiful to hear all of these things. Then let's talk about your creative process. So you've shared a bit about the ideation and we understand that you are collaborating on a lot of things. But maybe what's your favorite part of the creative process? Like, where do you feel like you are really like doing your best job?
I like the beginning. Yeah. So I like the beginning where I'm just like the idea and then writing the proposal. Like that's my favorite. And then I have to write it, right?
Yep.
But the beginning part and getting the contract is like, whoa. And then after, you know, the writing part, it took me a while, even after 3 contracts, to really believe that I was an author, because I never went to college. I didn't write, and I don't remember writing an essay in high school at all. I think we just watched surfing videos in senior English class. Like we did oral book reports.
Yeah.
And so writing to me, I learned how to write through business copywriting. So writing to me was a block actually. And I had to tell myself that you're an amazing writer, you're great at editing. And so it was a reprogram for me to get to where I am today.
Sure. Oh, love it. Okay. So you are great at ideating. It sounds like you have found your flow in that. When it comes to then doing the work that you find less exciting, how do you show up and yeah, the editing that you love, but you air quotes love. How do you get yourself through those parts of the process?
So Owl Tarot had one thing to edit.
Ah! Nice.
So that was the best. But the other ones had a lot of pages. And so I would first be like, but my editors are they're very nice, actually. They like called us and was like, don't worry, you know, but they were very nice. And if we have any questions, we can ask them. The editing, I let myself, you know, feel the, oh my gosh, this is kind of overwhelming, because it is sometimes. And then I get neutral about it. And then I will do like tapping or something, or I will change my energy somehow, and I'll get really pumped up and I'll be like, okay, I'm ready to edit. This is the best edit ever. And actually, when I go into edit, it's easier than what I made it out to be. You know what I mean? I thought it's like, I made it to be such a big thing, but it wasn't.
Yeah. I think when you see all of those, like, I mean, they may not come as red marks, but what is the equivalent of red marks? It may just be like change of A to AN, but it looks awful on that piece of paper.
It's more like rewrite. What does this sentence mean? And I'm like, that's what it means.
Right. I said it.
Yeah. Or where did you get this from? I'm like, I channeled it. Like, I didn't get it from a book. Like, I don't know. So like stuff like that, you have to like explain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. Okay. Let's talk about this new deck. I think it's time to go in that direction, because Tarot of the Owls sounds like you had a great idea and like an insane amount of energy that allowed you to do this whole thing in 3 days. You get it back, have one edit or edit on one of them. Like, this sounds like an incredibly magical experience. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Ask yourself, why isn't there an owl tarot yet? Owls are on almost every deck, at least on the moon, right? It's almost on every deck out there, on every tarot deck. And it's a very magical animal. It's a guide. You know, owls are guides. They're guardians. And so I was just like, why is there no owl decks? And actually, they were hesitant about taking this. The only reason I got the contract, and this was synchronicity too, was because I reached out to Elizabeth Alba, who is the artist of the Tarot of the Owls and Everyday Witch Tarot, which did amazing, right? Number one sales, I believe, probably. And I was in contact with her because we did collaborations together, another collaboration, giveaways. And so I reached out and I said, look, I just submitted Owl Tarot, and I would love for you to be the artist if I hope they ask you. And she's like, I want to do it. And I was like, really? And so I messaged Barbara Moore, who is my, you know, project manager. I was like, Barb, Elizabeth says she'll be my artist. And then Barb emailed back like, no way, because she was on maternity leave or something. She wasn't taking projects and they love her. And so she's like, they go to the committee, come back, and they're like, if she is your artist, then you get this contract. I was like, she's in. Yeah.
Wonderful.
That was cool. Mm-hmm.
That it all sounds very synchronistic, right?
This
like
one,
all
yeah,
these
this one
little
was.
Things falling into place so that it becomes so easy that you literally are just like a vessel that has to open your mouth and it falls out, basically.
The owls were very surprising and easy.
You know, what's really funny about this, I'm going to draw a fun little magical parallel. I was talking to Maya Toll, who I did a whole lot of masterminding with a couple of years ago, who is the author of the Illustrated Herbiary. And then she also did the Bestiary and Crystallary as well. And I think she shared it here on this podcast before. She channeled all three of those books and, you know, the ways that you do. And she said that when she was writing the Bestiary, because if you look at that book, there are multiple owls in the Bestiary. She said the owls would not stop coming through. And that she had to tell them to stop. Like, this is not the owlry. This is a bestiary and I cannot put another owl in here. We're going to have to do something else. So I love that she like put a stopper on the owls and then they came to you and you just gave them their whole deck.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what the timeline was, because I channeled this in 2018. So it'd be cool when...
Let's look. I'm going to go see when the Bestiary came out.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Bestiary book.
But you don't know when she... When does she write it, though? Because it comes out way later. You know what I mean?
It came out in October of 2019. So she would have done it in 2017, 2018, right?
Yeah.
So it sounds like they left her and came to you, and now they have their spot and a whole deck.
They have their spot and a whole deck, yeah.
Okay, so did you have any experience with owls beforehand, or was this really just a drop in your head kind of thing?
I've always had an infinity with the owl, and I have an owl tattoo from over 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon one. And I just always see them as a guide with a lot of wisdom and with protection, and also really related to ancestors, and they bring, and really magical. And they're with almost like a lot of the goddesses, right? In almost every realm. And so I've always loved owls, and I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner. Right.
They weren't ready yet.
They weren't ready yet.
They were ready. Okay, beautiful. Then you tell us, why are the owls here? I would love to hear, what message are they bringing to us, to the collective? And, if we can sort of narrow it into how they could help creative business owners, that's cool. But what is that overarching message of the owls for right now?
So the owls actually bring in miracles. So I didn't realize that until I got the deck in my hand. So the owls in this deck are owl guardians, and they are from a realm. So they are not from another planet, or they're not from our planet, but they are in another realm, which they rule. And they have a vault of wisdom that if you ask, and this teaches you to ask, and it teaches you to step forward first, which entrepreneurs do, leaders do, leaders lead, right? We take the first step. So if you don't ask, how do they know that you need to receive the wisdom? So when you speak what you desire, when you ask for the things that you desire, then you will get a surprise from the owls. Keep coming to you, and you might not want it to stop. You might not want it to stop, but it will be it teaches you not to be so in control of your life, right? Yeah. So I know that we want this to happen, and it has to happen like this, but it allows you to spread your wings and just go with the currents, and actually they swoop in. So when you are working with owls, I feel like things actually moves a little bit faster, a little bit more in the quantum, where things that you wanted maybe in 5 years comes in 2 to 3 years. So the owls really allows you for that, because you're free. You allow things to happen instead of trying to control them.
Nice. There you go, everybody. A little message from the owls, straight from the owl channeler. Which is fantastic. That's very fascinating. As you were sitting down and you mentioned that some of this came from you literally having it in your hand, which is, at that point, a year plus after you actually sit down and write it. Tell me a bit more about that initial 3 days of sitting down and creating this deck. What did that process look like? What sort of came out first? Etc.
So my deck creation is pretty much the same. I'm free flow, but I do follow a formula. So I see if I can create the artwork or the description for the majors first. So if I can actually put them on a tarot deck, if it makes sense, which with animals, I feel like, or magical animals, it's very easy, right? And so that came out first. The majors were easy. Then I see if they can put into the suits. Then I'll do the court cards. I do them separately. And it came out easy. And then that's when I start to tap into creating the actual proposal on where do they come from? Why are they here? How are they going to help the readers? you know, kind of like a business. What is your niche? What is your brand? What problem are you solving? So this one was, the owls really wanted to help the reader tap into their wisdom, their creativity, and their intuition. So being open and being aware of what is coming through for you, because they know that we are as powerful. So it's not that the owls hold so much wisdom. It's they just kind of help guide you to remember the wisdom that you already have within you. It's not looking out there. The universe is not going to give you anything. It's you giving it to yourself.
That is such a beautiful message. And I think we have so much to learn from that sort of perspective. And I love that that's what the process looks like. Do you find that the more you create decks that it's becoming easier, or is it equally challenging every time?
I think it's easier. And I do feel like I'm getting better in writing, right? Like putting words together probably. And so it's a lot of, I think it actually gets more fun because now I have like the basics down on how to. So my first, the Witchling Academy Tarot, I think I had to write the manuscript for the guidebook 3 times because I didn't know how to write tarot. So I didn't know how to write the story of the deck with tarot. I was either writing the whole story, no tarot, or too much tarot.
Yeah. Good. So it sounds like you're creating this really amazing process, a really great, amazing foundation, as well as process that sort of expedites the creativity once you have it all set up.
Yes. Yes. I think for entrepreneurs can relate when they're building their modules, right? Their program. Once you build one, the next one is easier.
For sure. For sure. You start like putting these things in your tool belt, and it's so much easier to pull them out and repurpose them for later. Well, this has been an amazing look inside of the process for creating this deck and your creative process. I mean, I really feel incredibly inspired to chill out about creativity in general, for sure. Because I feel like it's easy to get like our, you know, creative panties in a bunch, right? Mm-hmm. We like need things to work out exactly the way we want to. We need to express ourselves in exactly the way we like go out doing and boo collaboration. I'm not boo collaboration by any means, but a lot of creatives can be, and you've brought such a lightness to this that I find truly inspiring. And I hope everyone got a nice little nugget out of that. And really just this lesson that if you just let it go and get the ball rolling, everything just becomes significantly easier.
Mm-hmm. Choose that it's easy. So you have to decide that it's easy, it's fast, you love change. Right. And if you don't, then if you want to, then make yourself believe like I did.
Yeah, exactly. This has been incredibly inspiring, Pamela. Thank you so much for coming and sharing all of these things with us. Is the deck out? Amazon says it's out now. You were like, I don't know what's happening with that deck. Can people buy it? And if so, where should they go?
So, you know, the owls are fun. So they dropped it in early at the warehouse. And so they were like, let's release it 2 months early. And then, you know, you have to like ship it to Amazon, and then it got sold out. And so it was out, and now it's out. By March, it should be all out. Llewellyn has the decks, unless it's sold out. Yay. And we need to order more, but you will be able to get your deck somewhere, somehow. Even Barnes & Noble has them, Amazon, Llewellyn Worldwide, or any of your metaphysical stores should have them. And if not, they can order it because they all get a Llewellyn catalog.
I'm going to be carrying this one in the Being Boss, not in the Being Boss, in the Almanac shop for sure.
Yeah. Can you take a picture? Tag me. Let me know.
Absolutely will. Absolutely will. Yeah. I'm very excited about this deck. I think it is incredibly beautiful. If you haven't, you know, if you haven't stopped and Googled it yet, go Google it and look it up. It's incredibly beautiful. I can't wait to get my hands on it and have it in the store. I think it's going to be totally cool. And I always especially have a deep connection to things when I know the person who created them and I can hear the story of how they were created. I think this is a really cool piece of tarot work that you've done here.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is so fun.
Of course. Okay, where can folks find more about you these days and what it is that you're up to?
So I am on Instagram at Pamela Unicorn. That is the easiest place to find me, to see everything that I'm doing. I always post about it. It's in my highlights. It's in the link up in my bio. Everything is there. Easy.
Perfect. And last but not least, what's making you feel most boss?
I think just having the creation, since we're talking about creativity, when it becomes a physical thing in your hand.
Yes.
Like when I got, even though I knew it's coming out, but whenever you get that thing in your hand, physical, it's, or when you get the clients in your group, it's like, oh, this is the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. The physical manifestations of your creativity, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Lovely. All right, Pamela, this has been great. Thanks for coming to chat.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Being Boss community.
All right, boss, because you're here, I know you want to be a better creative business owner, which means I've got something for you. Each week, the team at Being Boss is scouring the news, the best entrepreneurial publications, and updates and releases of the apps and tools that run our businesses, and is curating it all into a weekly email that delivers the must-know tips and tactics in the realms of mindset, money, and productivity. This email is called Brewed. We brew it up for you each week to give you the insight you need to make decisions and move forward in your creative business. Check it out now and sign up for yourself at beingboss.club/brewed. That's beingboss.club/BREWED. Now, until next time, do the work, be boss. Yeah.